Let's look here in the Bible tonight in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, unto your virtue knowledge, unto knowledge temperance, unto temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is where I'm taking my text and my title, my main thought. But he that lacketh the things that I just read you about, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, it seems to me that would be almost an impossibility. That a person could get so far from God that he'd forget that he was even saved. Now, there's debate on what this Scripture really means. But I'm convinced that it doesn't mean that you literally forget the day you were saved, but you're living like you forgot you're saved. So I want to preach on this thought tonight. He said that you forgot that you were purged from your old sins. I want to preach on spiritual Alzheimer's. Spiritual Alzheimer's. It's a pretty dangerous disease in the physical realm, but it's a lot worse spiritually. Hey, Brother Duke, would you lead us in prayer again tonight before I start?
Dear Father, as we come to you in prayer at this time, Lord, we pray that you would just bless at this time, Lord. Take every obstacle, every thing that would set our hearts and minds astray from the message tonight. And Lord, that we might hear you speaking to us out of your word. Father, we hear you, we believe you, we trust you.
Amen.
To say, help Brother Chad, help him with the word that you want him to deliver unto us, Father, and give him freedom and liberty.
Amen.
Proclaim it as you would be pleased, Lord. We need to hear from you. We need your blessing and touch upon us, Father. And Father, we pray that you speak to us now. For those that are here and not saved, Lord, visit them, touch them. Lord, open their hearts and their eyes and their ears, Lord, that they might see Him.
Amen.
Lord, save their souls. We'll be careful to give you the praise and honor of the Lord for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'll go on and read verse 10 and get started. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's not talking about falling from grace. It's talking about falling into this spiritual forgetfulness that He warned us about. What I want to try to do tonight, real quickly here, is show us some things about physical Alzheimer's and make us spiritualize it and show us how that those same things that can happen when we have physical Alzheimer's, we can see it in our spiritual life. So the first thing I want to talk about are some signs of physical Alzheimer's and also signs that you have spiritual Alzheimer's. Then secondly, the cures and the prevention for Alzheimer's. And I've just got 2 points. Now when a preacher says that, it's bad because they're long points, but I'll try to roll on and you try to listen fast and I'll preach as the Lord would let me. I've done a little bit of study about physical Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, and I'll try to say it right, we all probably call it Alzheimer's, but it's really Alzheimer's, is a brain disorder named after a German physician. He first described it in 1908. It is a progressive and fatal brain disease. As many as 5.3 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's destroys brain cells, causing memory loss and problems with thinking, behavior, and it is bad enough that it will finally take the life of that person. It is the seventh leading cause of death in the United States. Physical Alzheimer's is a very sad disease that attacks even those whose bodies are in perfect health. They said statistically, people who get Alzheimer's are usually more, they're in the best physical shape, and for their age, they're way above the average person. It's a very sad disease. We look at somebody who has Alzheimer's and we say it's so sad that their body is in such good health, but their mind is so bad. But I want to say that even more sad than that is somebody who's really been saved by the grace of God, but they're living in a way that they have got spiritual Alzheimer's and they're living like they forgot that they've been purged from their sins. Oh God, help us not to get in that kind of shape. But every one of us here that have been redeemed by the grace of God, we have a possibility that we could get spiritual Alzheimer's and forget. We could live like we forget that we have been saved by the grace of God. Alzheimer's is a sad condition, and it can be present and it can be there for a long time and the person not even know it till it starts developing. But the thing is, others will notice Alzheimer's in a person before they notice it themselves. So you get a family member who starts getting Alzheimer's and they'll think, well, I'm just getting forgetful, or they won't even realize that they have the problem. But those around them can tell real quick they've got a problem. That's the way it is spiritually. People around us can tell we've let up, we've changed on what we believe, we're not as faithful to the house of God as we used to be. We're not spiritually minded, but we'll swear up and down we're in good shape. But everybody around can tell. See, we love ourselves. We need to get off that love affair with ourselves and not be so struck on ourselves, because we have a hard time seeing when we're in something. I can see when Brother Duke's got a fault real easy. I can pick him apart. But what about Chad Johnson? I need to look at me first. We all ought to examine ourselves, see whether or not we're in the faith. We need a self-examination of where we're at. So, first point, let's look at some signs of spiritual and physical Alzheimer's. The first thing that you'll see when a patient gets Alzheimer's, a person gets it physically, is there'll be memory loss that disrupts daily life. The common things become difficult and are not performed to their best. So it is with spiritual Alzheimer's. Things come, they become delusional. And common things that we're used to doing in the service of the Lord, we get out of the habit of doing them. We drift from them, and we've got spiritual Alzheimer's. I tell you what's wrong with the members of Olmsted Baptist Church that never come back on Sunday nights and Wednesdays and don't come, but just enough to stay on the roll and not be disciplined. I tell you what the problem is. If they're saved, they've got spiritual Alzheimer's. Amen. That's what it is. They're living like they forgot that they're saved. Some people make plans on Sunday morning that they're not coming back Sunday night. Now, I know things come up. I know we have problems. But a person who can continually lay out of the house of God, I see them out in the community every day running around. They're not as sick as they act like. They've got Alzheimer's. They're sick, but it's a spiritual sickness.
Amen.
That's right. So let's look at some things that go with this memory loss. The first thing when you've got spiritual Alzheimer's that will start hurting in your life is prayer. I tell you what, if we don't spend time in prayer and we don't get in there and pray and seek God's will for our life, we can't expect to be spiritually minded. A lot of times people think that prayer is just something that, well, God's going to do it anyway, I don't have to do it. If that's the way that you have met the doctrine of election, you've met it wrong. We need to pray because it's good for us to pray. I love to talk to the Father. I need to talk to Him to ask Him to forgive me my sin and pray for the salvation of people that I love and pray for the Word of God to go forth. But I tell you, when you stop praying, that normal daily routine is disrupted with physical Alzheimer's. And when you get that way spiritually, you quit praying. Prayer doesn't seem serious to you anymore. Then the next thing you'll start neglecting in your daily life is Bible devotion. I wonder how many men in this church take a Bible as often as you can and read it to your family and have a family devotion. You say, well, preacher, that's the church's job. Oh no, son, it's your job. You as the man of the house are supposed to lead your family in biblical devotions. They ought to hear you reading the Word of God, your wife and children, and a family that reads the Bible together and prays together has a whole lot better chance of staying together. It's very important. Your daily life is disrupted when you get Alzheimer's physically. Well, spiritually, when that Bible reading is neglected, that's why a lot of people, they don't like what the man of God preaches. They get bored on the things of God at church. It's because you haven't been feeding during the week in prayer and Bible reading. It's because you've got spiritual Alzheimer's. You're living like you forgot that you're saved. I mean, how can we claim the grace of God and not care anything about praying or having Bible time? Because you got Alzheimer's and you're starting to slip. So what's wrong? Another thing in our daily life that will slip is praising God in our hearts and having a joyful song. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 148, 119, verse 23, verse 97, 99, all those verses, He said, I will meditate day and night. That word meditate means to think upon the things of God. I wonder how much meditating we do on spiritual things. Is it we meditate on the things of the world, on the problems we have, or do we meditate and try to keep our spiritual minds in good shape? Well, I tell you, if you don't, you could get to where you could forget. You could live like you have forgotten that you're even saved. Amen. He said, meditate day and night on the Word of God. How long has it been since you took a verse and read it and just meditated and thought, what can I do with that? What, Lord, what do you want to show me in that verse? Got to meditate on it. Memory loss that disrupts daily life. The second thing that happens when a person gets Alzheimer's physically is he begins to have challenges in solving problems. Little things that come along that used to be something they could solve just like that, they become a mountain. Well, that happens spiritually. When problems come in our life, if you've got spiritual Alzheimer's, you don't solve it through the Word of God. You'll go to worldly counsel. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I won't say when problems come in your life, if you have got a healthy spiritual life, you won't go to the world. You won't go to the people of the world for counsel. You'll go to godly people and God's Word. You won't be blessed if you get your counsel from ungodly people. People come and say, Brother Chad, I've got this problem. And I tell them what the Bible says and they get mad. I've had that happen once or twice. That's not too bad. But they have challenges in solving problems. Where do you go when you have a problem in your life? Do you go to this blessed old King James Bible? Or do we go to the thought and the mentality of the world? When things come our way, where we go will tell a whole lot on how we're going to come out. You tell me where you go to get your counsel, and I'll tell you how it's going to turn out. Amen. Don't go to the worldly, ungodly people for counsel, church. Let's stay with this Bible and godly people. See, when you get spiritual Alzheimer's, you get to where when problems come, you might say, oh, preacher, I know what the Word of God says. I know, but. When you start butting, you're like a goat. You're butting. Don't be butting against what the Word of God says. If you've got a good, healthy spiritual mind, when the problems come, we need to go. I tell you what, I've done it in my life and it hadn't been easy. But when problems have come, I've done what the Word of God said. And humanly speaking, it looked like I was getting ready to wreck the train, that everything was going to fall out. But somehow, by the grace of God, He brought me through it because I heeded to the Word. Those precious promises I read about, they'll not be realty in your life till you take Him at His Word. Amen. That's right. When you have to take your hands off the reins and say, Lord, I'm going to have to let You lead this. See, those problems, those challenging things that come in your life, you go to the wrong place. When problems come, do you look to the Scripture or to the world for help? A lot of people go to people who they know will tell them what they want to hear, too. It wouldn't do a man or a woman to come to me and say, I'm thinking about leaving my husband or wife. What do you think I need to do? I'd tell her to go home and start loving him. Go home, cook him a big supper, and just really kiss on him and tell him you love him. I'd tell him, be good to her. Treat her like Christ did the church. But there's some preachers that say, I'll get you another one. We've got a singles again class down church. We'll hook you up with somebody else. God help us.
Amen.
Number three, another sign of Alzheimer's. Confusion with time and places that they used to go. Some, they forget where they go. They can get there and they'll say, how did I get here and why am I here? So will a person with spiritual Alzheimer's. They'll forget where they are and they'll go to unholy places. No doubt, when Peter was by the devil's fire, when he denied the Lord, Peter, he was living like he had forgotten that he was saved. But I tell you what, it was a good thing about Peter. When he got around the fire and that woman came and said, your speech betrays you. I know you're one of his. He said, no, I'm not. But he knew in his heart that he was. And see, Peter was living like he was at a place that he didn't need to go. When a person gets physical Alzheimer's, they can wander out in the driveway and end up out in the woods lost, and they're a place that they don't belong. Well, when the saved people, when the redeemed get spiritual Alzheimer's, we'll end up to places like dance halls. We'll end up to places like country music concerts. We'll able to end up down there mixed swimming, stripping off naked in front of everybody. We'll able to end up in places where they're standing around telling dirty jokes down at work and us laughing at them. We'll end up in the most wicked and vile places that we could be because we've got spiritual Alzheimer's. We've wandered into a place we had no business being in.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe all you just said. Yes, I believe it, and I'll say it again. I don't think we need to go to some places if we're saved.
Amen.
Some places a Christian don't belong. I went to a couple of dances after I was saved. The Holy Ghost said, you don't belong here. And I left them by the grace of God. So fourthly, this is a good one. When a person gets Alzheimer's, they have trouble speaking plainly. The Bible said in Colossians 4:6 that our speech ought to be seasoned with grace. See, a person who gets physical Alzheimer's, it can affect their speech. And when a person gets spiritual Alzheimer's, it'll affect how we talk. Do we witness? Do we spread the Word of God? Do we run the church down? Do we talk about the members of the church to the lost world? Sometimes you've got to discuss things. What is our mouth doing? I mean, a lot of people can tear down with their mouth what it's took them years to build in a testimony.
Yep.
I've heard people argue the Bible in front of lost people. I got on a guy one night at work when I worked second shift at BTR. I told him, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, you're about as ignorant as they come. I said, this man is lost and on his way to a devil's hell, and you're trying to sit here and argue. I think there was a Pentecostal and some Baptist guy that he's arguing about talking in tongues and just going at it. I said, you are silly for doing that in front of a man who's not saved. What about our speech? How are we using our tongue? Is it for the glory of God or is it for the world, the flesh, and the devil? Well, a person's got Alzheimer's, they just liable to say anything and don't care who hears it or what. Well, if you've got spiritual Alzheimer's, you'll say things without thinking, are they spiritually right and godly things? Then there'll be a decreased or poor judgment in that person's life. Person who gets Alzheimer's, they don't have the good judgment to make good decisions like they used to have. Well, if you've got spiritual Alzheimer's, you'll have trouble making spiritual judgments. And then lastly, and I'll get to the prevention, they'll withdraw themselves from social activities that they once loved. They remove themselves from things they once loved to do. So a person who has spiritual Alzheimer's remove themselves from the assembling of the church together. The Bible said in Hebrews 10, we've heard it all, says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There's always been a group that was the core of the church that kept it going. There was already some in the Scripture, Brother Duke, who were forsaking the assembly. And just like that person who maybe used to love to go golfing or go hunting or go fishing, they love to do that, but when that sickness sets in, they withdraw from things they love. Well, that's what happens spiritually. We start drawing back from things we once loved and things that once meant a lot to us. I thought about when Olmsted Baptist Church came out and established this local assembly. I wonder what the zeal was like in people then. I wonder if we loved to go to the house of God. There was a burning desire because we were working together to build the house of the Lord. I just wonder what's happened. It's time made us forget where God brought us from, where He's taking us and what He's doing for us now. They talk about the good old days. I've heard them say all this. I don't want to hear about the good old days. I want to get it updated and say today is the day we ought to be living and having a desire for the things of God. The good old days are gone. They're good, but they're gone. Today is a different day. Amen. Then we see the prevention and the cure. It's one and the same. Verse 9, I read you there in 2 Peter chapter 1, said, "But he that lacketh these things is blind," and it goes on talking about he has forgotten that he was purged. And the things it was talking about are the things here starting in verse 5. He said, "And beside this, giving all diligence." That means really be precise. Really go after it. Give diligence to it. Add to your faith. See, salvation, the faith that we have is the foundation, and we build upon that. You don't just get saved and nothing else ever happens. There's work to be done. You build upon that. So the first thing he said to add to our salvation, not to complete it as far as our justification, but to make our salvation shine and let us be better Christians, he said, add to your faith virtue. The word virtue, if you look it up in its Greek meaning, means moral goodness, purity, and strength. He said there that the reason you've got in this shape, you've got spiritual Alzheimer's in verse 9, it's because you lack these things. So if we have these things in our life, it will prevent us from being forgetful. So once you are saved by the grace of God, we ought to add virtue. That's moral goodness, purity, and strength. It's almost like in our day that people are scared to death if you talk about purity. I tell you what, it ought to be the most joyous time at a local New Testament Baptist church when a man and a woman comes down to be married, that they've both been pure. I'm going to tell my girls when they get older, but I've always believed this. They'll make fun of you for being pure. They'll say, "Oh, you're a sissy. You mean you're not a real man?" You just remember one thing. You can become what they are any day you want to. But if you're still pure, they'll never again be what you are.
That's right.
We ought to add purity and holiness to the life that we have in Christ Jesus. See, the word holiness and purity and sanctification all mean to be set apart from the world. When we were saved, you were set apart from that ungodliness in that world, and it was unto Christ. But if you don't live that and let sanctification come forth in your life and ask God to help you grow in grace, you'll get spiritual Alzheimer's.
Amen.
Because you didn't add that first thing, virtue, to your faith. So you got the faith, and the salvation is the foundation. Then you add the first thing is virtue to prevent spiritual Alzheimer's. Then he told us to add to the virtue knowledge. The word knowledge has to do with moral wisdom in the Scripture. Understanding of things of the Lord. Things that are lawful for Christians to do and things that are not lawful for us to do. See, once you've got the salvation, that foundation, you build virtue, then you put knowledge on top of that. See, if we want to prevent spiritual Alzheimer's, we've got to stay in the Bible and have the knowledge and wisdom that comes from the Word of God. The world can give knowledge. They can give some understanding, but wisdom and godliness, true knowledge, comes from knowing this Bible right here. You've got to add that or you'll have spiritual Alzheimer's. You'll get so delusional, you'll be so messed up, and you won't even know it. People who've got Alzheimer's physically really don't realize what they're doing.
Right.
And when you get like that spiritually, you're messed up. Then he said, add to our knowledge, temperance. The word temperance is self-control. One who with God's help controls his fleshly appetites. There's something God's been convicting me about, and I'm trying to work hard on it. I'm telling you, eating too much is just as bad as a lot of other sins. That's right. You say, well, you got to eat a little bit to live. Yeah, I know, but it don't have to be much as we do sometimes. Self-control must be there, or you'll get to, if you lack these things it's talking about, you'll forget. See, but it's a lot more than that. When you don't have temperance, you'll self-destruct. If I don't have any control, see, I can do anything as a saved man that I ever did lost. But there's two problems at least. Number one, I can't enjoy it like I used to. And number two, if I don't get out of it, God will kill me and take me to the grave early. That's, they say, old preacher, not in the modern day. Yeah, there's still a sin unto death. That's how I know that a lot of people who profess to be saved but live so ungodly year after year after year, we haven't been to an early grave yet. There is a sin unto death, and when a Christian gets there, the Lord says, don't even pray for him.
Yeah.
There's a line somewhere that if a Christian crosses it, you're going out early.
Amen.
Temperance, self-control. I used to really like to tell people off. And don't say you don't. Every one of us like it a little bit. Boy, I get to give them a piece of my mind. Well, don't give them too much. We, most of us, can't spare any. Don't give them a piece of your mind now. There's a time to put a word in there and it fits just right. And there's a time to refrain from speaking. I used to volunteer. I said, Lord, I'm going to straighten. Tell you what, when I surrendered to preach, I said, Lord, I thought I was going to straighten the whole world out. Going to do it, boy. I couldn't even get any of my family hardly to come hear me. If I played for UK, they'd all be up there today cheering and drinking their beer.
Right. Right.
But you got to have temperance to build on this to keep from getting spiritual Alzheimer's. Then he said, patience. I'm trying to hurry. Y'all have patience with me. Time to exercise it now. Patience means to be steadfast. Characteristics of one who is not steered from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to the faith that he believes in, even in the greatest trials. See, we think of patience as somebody taking time with us, giving us a little space. But the word patience here in the Scripture means that we're steadfast. We don't get swerved off the track. We don't need to be offended. The word offended means to be knocked off track. The Bible said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now that don't mean that I can talk to people any way I want to when I'm preaching. But I believe this, if you love the law of God, the Word of God might rough us up sometime, might get us under conviction, and I hope it does, but it oughtn't to make you so mad that you can't get back on Wednesday just because a man of God preached where you lived. If it's in the Word. And if it's done the right spirit. Now, some people, you could never please them. You could never say it sweet enough. I know some people, I could say something with honey dripping off my lips and then say, oh, that's too much honey. You know. But I believe Brother Jim's spirit's right when he preaches against sin to us, don't you? I don't think he's doing it to hurt me. He's doing it to help me. For every compromising preacher out there, every 10 compromisers, there might be one good preacher out there. I've traveled to a lot of churches this year. I'm telling you, they're pathetic. I love them, but they're in bad shape spiritually. You know why? The leadership is broken down. See, if leadership can be broken down in the factory, the home, or the church, it'll go to chaos. That's why you need good leadership that stays in this Bible and is instant in season and out of season. So we ought to have patience. We need to be steadfast. That's another block we keep building to prevent Alzheimer's. Number five, he said, build godliness. Godliness, holiness, sanctification, sanctified unto the Lord. A lot of people say, preacher, I don't know the will of God for my life. Well, I tell you one thing, I know is the will of God for everybody that's saved. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1-7, he talked about, he said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It's God's will for everybody under the sound of my voice right now that's saved to be sanctified, set apart. When they see us out in public and how we live and conduct ourselves, they ought to say there's something different about that person. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. But there's a guy, an older man, that my wife cleans the house for. And every time she goes over there, because, you know, he told her the other day, he said, "What kind of religion are y'all?" She said, "We're Baptist." He said, "Well, I figured you're Pentecostal." He said, "Well, why?" I said, "Well, you wear a skirt over here all the time." Now, I'm going to say this. It's an indictment on the Baptists that they think if you dress right, you're automatically a Pentecostal, number one. But I want to say this, that our sanctification, and not just how we dress, but how we live, how we act, if we're not sanctified unto the Lord, we're not much of a witness. And see, she was a witness for the Lord without ever opening her mouth. See, they ought to be able to say there's something different about that person. They're watching us, church. You need to realize the world is watching us. There's people right now who would love to see me fall and stumble. It would joy them if they said they heard that I cheated on my wife. It would joy them. The world is watching us. Right. Ladies, one woman told me, said, "Well, you men are all dogs. That's why." Well, we might be. But if you know that, then don't be waving a piece of meat in front of a dog.
Right.
See, that's the thing. In our sanctification, our separation on how we... And I'm not just one of these preachers that gets on dressing right all the time. It's part of the puzzle. It's one part of the Bible. But what you need to realize, ladies, is men look at women different than women think that they're looking at them. What you ought to do, men, before you leave to go anywhere, you ought to look what your wife and kids and yourself is wearing and say, "Now look, I look at my wife, and is she dressed in a way that's going to bring undue attention to her, that she's going to cause a man to lust? Now that man's sinning by lusting, but when you're wearing short, tight, low-cut, revealing garments out in public, you cause people to lust. And ladies, you might not realize how men look at you, but they do look at you different than what you're probably thinking they do. Your attire ought to bring men's eyes to your face, not checking you out. It's high time we got serious about separated living.
Amen.
They ought to be able to tell when we come through the stores and up and down the road, said, "Man, that crowd, there's something different about them."
Amen.
Bible says that. It said, "Dress in modest apparel and plenty of it."
Amen.
The word modest means long, flowing garment. The Bible never tells men to dress right, Brother Jim. I've often wondered why that is. We're supposed to. But I think the reason it is, and I'm leaving this point after this, I think, you know, probably time to leave it. But men, for the most part, are bothered by what they see, and women what they hear. Now, I'm not saying a woman don't say that's a good... But I'm just saying, how you treat a woman, how you talk to her, gets to her a lot more than what she sees. But men, we're controlled by what we see. So don't help us lust, ladies. Dress godly.
Amen.
You neither need to decide you're going to dress for the Lord or undress for the world.
Amen.
So godliness is built on that. Then brotherly kindness and charity. Brotherly kindness means to treat each other with respect and love. If I disagree with Brother James back there, I have no right to disrespect him in our disagreement. See, the Bible said this is how you know that you're my disciples, how the world will know that you have love one for another. No matter if I disagree with you on something and we can't seem to get an agreement on it, I still, if I don't want spiritual Alzheimer's and for my mind to get messed up spiritually, I ought to love you and have respect for you. You can disagree with somebody, but do it respectably.
Amen.
You can confront somebody and do it in the right way, but if you ever break down respect with somebody, they're done listening to you. If you jump up in their face and said, "I tell you what, you idiot," and just start going off on them, that you've done broke down respect, and they're not going to listen to one thing you say. See, if we're going to prevent spiritual Alzheimer's and not forget that we're purged from our sins, we've got to have brotherly love and kindness toward each other. If we don't have love for one another, we don't have much.
That's right.
And we can't be praying, because the Bible said if you don't forgive your brother, the Lord's not going to forgive you. He don't even hear your prayer if you have aught in your heart against your brother. So spiritual Alzheimer's. I told you the symptoms and the signs of it. Told you how to cure it. He said, "He that lacketh these things has forgot that he was purged from his old sins." Look what Peter told them there in verse 13. He said, "Yea, I think it meet," that means necessary, "as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Somebody said, "The man of God stirred us up tonight." Well, he did what he should have done. And if he's, and if Spirit of God is just honoring what he did. See, Peter said, "I'm going to keep preaching and I want to stir you up." See, when something gets stagnated, it needs to be stirred a little bit. And Peter said, "By the help and grace of God, I want to stir your memory up. Don't get stagnated. Don't get a foggy spiritual mind as long as I'm in this tabernacle." Because he said, "There's a time coming when I won't be here." I'll leave you with this illustration and I'm done. Back in the 1800s, in London, England, there was an orphan boy, a street boy is what he was. He was living on the streets and he didn't have hardly enough to eat. He was filthy, had just rags for clothes. And there was a rich man that was walking down the street one day and he saw that little boy. And he went up to him and he said, "Son," he said, "where's your parents at? Why are you in, where do you live?" He said, "I'll take you where I live." And the guy said, "Well, you need to get home to your parents." He walked around the corner and he said, "Sir," he said, "my parents are dead." This boy was about 8 years old. And he said, "You see that box right over there in that alley?" He said, "Yes." He said, "That's where I live." And that rich man said, "Son, you just come with me." He said, "Your parents are dead?" "Yeah, I don't have anybody." He said, "I just eat out of the garbage cans." So that rich man takes that young boy home and he's got a fine big mansion and servants. And he takes that boy in. He tells his servants, said, "Get those dirty clothes off, put some clean clothes on and give him a bath." And said, "We're going to take care of him. I'm going to make you just like one of mine." Well, as days went on, that boy was really enjoying living with that rich man and his family. But one of the servants noticed something that young boy did every morning for about 3 or 4 months straight, and he finally asked him what he was doing, but I'll tell you what the young boy did. Every morning, that servant, when he would come up to bring that young boy's breakfast, the young boy wouldn't have the door shut all the way to his room. And he would look in there, and that young boy would go over to the closet and pull out a box, take the top off and pull those old raggedy clothes out, look at them, and start weeping. Put them back in the box, put them back in the closet. He did this morning after morning. And finally that servant, he said, "I've got to find out why that kid's doing that." He went in, he said, "Young man," he said, "tell me something." He said, "Why is it every morning you go in there and get those old rags out, look at them, cry, and put them back in the box?" And he looked up at that man with tears in his eyes. And he said, "I tell you why I look at him. Because I don't want to forget what he's done for me." And some of you sitting here have been saved a long time. But I'm afraid you forgot. It'd do you good to go back and look at the day the Lord saved you. And look at them old rags that He found you in. And the next time that you want to get in a shape and don't want to come to church and want to fight against everything, just think of what He's done for you. Take a good look at those old rags. You hadn't always been redeemed. You hadn't always been on your way to heaven. Your sins hadn't always been cleansed in that fountain filled with blood. "I don't want to forget what He's done for me, Brother Duke." That's what that boy was saying. Not that I want to look back at my old sins, but it does me good ever so often to look back at where He's brought me from and look what He's doing for me now and thank God, look at what He's going to do for me someday. I don't want to forget what He's done for me.